We're rising.
Ignition sequence start.
We're rising.
There are certain things, at least for me, when you're a kid, that you see on TV and you think that's the way things are. For example, quicksand. When I was watching TV as a kid, you watch a Western, somebody gets sucked into quicksand.
I was scared to death of quicksand when I was little.
And it just seems to pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Cowboys get stuck in quicksand.
And there's
Tarzan
no getting out.
Gets stuck in
like you're just getting swallowed
yeah.
up.
And it's like grainy looking stuff, and it's all over. It's just like I was convinced I would go somewhere someday and just find myself in quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
You get older, you find out, well, it doesn't exactly work that way.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is there a such thing as quicksand?
There is.
Okay.
It doesn't exactly work the way it does on TV and
okay.
in the movies.
Okay.
But occasionally you can run up against quicksand. It's basically, it's a sandy area where you've had a lot of water come in and the water is in between all the granules of sand. I actually watched a Mythbusters episode where they created a big tank full of quicksand mm-hmm. to test the myth that you would just sink and that if you struggled, you'd sink faster.
Yeah.
And it wasn't true. So
and it was muddy, right? It wasn't even dry.
Yeah, it's never dry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in A Princess Bride, the lightning sand, which is essentially quicksand, was dry.
Yes, yes.
But in the Westerns, it was always wet-looking, gross-looking stuff. And somebody from the shore, so to speak, would have to find a stick or throw you a vine and pull you out or tie a rope to a horse and, you know, let the horse pull you out.
And the best was when somebody sunk all the way down. And then there would be a hand reaching up, and they grab that stick and be saved by the
or you just
teeth.
Go by, and all it's on top is the cowboy's hat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, these were things, mm-hmm. and you thought, I'm going to run into quicksand someday,
and this is how I'm going to meet Jesus.
Yeah, I got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
I looked for quicksand when I was a kid just to make sure that I wasn't going to get caught in it. Well, it hasn't happened up to this point. I've been safe and secure, but there's a lady in Boston, Massachusetts, who is the only person I know to have come as close as anyone else to the quicksand nightmare that we have seen growing up. I'll tell you about
it.
Okay. We were talking about things we were scared of as kids that we thought were normal because we saw it on TV, and quicksand was the example that we were using. And it was something that as a kid, I tried to avoid. Even though I never saw any.
You got me leaning to the edge of my
seat. I never knew that we
here.
Had this in common, because quicksand, truly, it would freak me
I
out.
I was terrified, too. Yeah. I got you. But honestly, sinkholes, to me, are the equivalent today, and
well,
they are real. They are
you
scary.
Grew up in Florida, and sinkholes are really more of a thing. They're more common in Florida than other parts of the...
Right.
We didn't talk about sinkholes in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Or in Alabama.
Actually, we didn't talk about quicksand either, but for some reason, I still thought I'd run into it in the backyard. But... here's what happened. This is the story that actually reminded me of this. And this actually happened a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, we typically come into the show with more material than we ever going to use. And about once a week, I start clearing out stories. And I came across this one. And this just reached deep inside of me and pulled all those quicksand fears back. Her name is Camille. She's actually a healthcare worker. And she went for a walk on Boston's Constitution Beach. And she found herself sinking into the low tides, wet sand.
Mm-hmm.
Soon it was up to her knees, and she couldn't move.
Oh, my word.
Couldn't get unstuck mm-hmm. from the sand. Apparently, she didn't struggle because she didn't continue to sink quicker, which, as we all know, is what happens in quicksand.
Right.
But
don't
she
struggle.
She couldn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually said it's a great metaphor for the year. Because she's been in the South Shore Hospital intensive care unit.
Oh, wow.
And with COVID, apparently she's felt up to her knees in quicksand pretty much all year long. And beachgoers soon started to see that she was having some struggles, and she started to call for help. She saw a traffic helicopter, and she started wondering if her quandary was somehow to blame for backups on the roads nearby the beach, if people were starting to look to see what was going on and causing traffic jams because the traffic copter was over her. Well, she finally called a friend and asked her, am I on TV?
Legit.
She's stuck.
Stuck in the sand.
She's mid-thigh at this point.
Wow.
I've had my feet stuck at the beach where there's like this suction.
Huh.
But I've never had that happen where you just
quickly up to your knees. That would be so freaky.
There's a picture of her right there. You can see she's thigh deep.
She is.
In the sand. She can't get out. So she calls a friend of hers and says, Google woman trapped in mud. And then before long.
Yeah.
Some firefighters arrived and were able to pull her to safety. They didn't get a vine. Mm-hmm. They didn't get a stick and lay down and hold the stick out to her like we've seen in TV shows.
Yeah.
No, they got a ladder, and they put the ladder out to where she was, and she basically did climb out of the quicksand.
Yeah.
Sure.
On the ladder that was just kind of laid flat on the ground so that it gave her something to grab onto.
And they
were able to rescue her. And to get her out of this. But yeah, the only person I've ever seen come close to the nightmare of quicksand that we grew up dreading is Camille from Boston, Massachusetts.
You guys, I'm having a collision of worlds here looking, and I rarely check my Facebook page, but I'm looking at Facebook comments. Mm-hmm. From the post that I did earlier this week where I mentioned that my son, Adam, and his wife, Leah, are expecting and posted their picture here.
Yep.
And so many people from high school friends to people that are part of my Facebook community that are part of our Joy FM community to church folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just sort of a collision of worlds here. Really, really sweet for people to come alongside and celebrate a wonderful moment in your life. And, you know, I'm not good with all this. You know, I don't know what the rules are now for what moments are supposed to be celebrated. And so when I mentioned this, I guess it was Tuesday morning that I was able to finally share with the public, with friends outside.
They had posted, and
then it was okay.
Right.
But I never told you guys how we found out.
Okay.
How Kimberly and I found out that Adam and Leah were pregnant.
It wasn't the Facebook picture?
Thankfully, no, it was not the Facebook picture. But a couple of weeks before that, Adam and Leah are over for lunch, and I think it was a Sunday, and you know, just kind of one of those lazy Sunday lunches. It was just great to see the kids. You don't get the chance to do that all the time, and so Leah is sitting at the table, and Kimberly and I are chatting her up. You know, tell us about how work's going, what's going on, how are your cats?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just getting caught up.
Yeah,
just sort of mundane conversation. Adam has excused himself to go to the restroom. And so we're just talking mundane stuff. And then we got on to some subject. I don't know what it was, but it was very benign, like cars, something like this.
The weather.
We're just talking like this. And then Adam comes out of the bathroom and he's walking up and he goes, oh, by the way, did we tell you we're pregnant?
Just like that.
Just like that.
Okay. All right.
That is such a Martin thing to do.
Yeah.
And Adam and Leah started cracking up because they had planned this.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimberly and I were like drop jawed.
Yeah.
And they're just laughing at us because they know they got us.
Yeah.
They stung us. We were totally, totally, totally unprepared for dropping a bomb like that in the middle of a mundane conversation.
Right.
So it was so fun to just have that moment, but we couldn't share that with anybody.
Mm.
And I'm thrilled to finally be able to celebrate this with friends, which is really cool. But I don't know. There are rules now because there are showers and there are things that you do. Like there's steps. Like I was talking to Hitch and he said, if you haven't told the story, you have to tell the story of how you found out because we know it wasn't the Facebook post.
Right.
And then there's the gender reveal,
that's not all you.
No.
You're done. Like your part. You know what I'm saying? Like now you just follow Adam and Leah's lead, which you did on this too.
Okay.
But there are no rules for you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're all good. I know what you're thinking.
Yes.
What do I do?
I have to know where the lines are.
The lines are, they get to post all that kind of good stuff, the fun stuff.
And I get to like it and congratulate.
Yeah, and then you get to come and tell us,
when they do the gender reveal, then you can tell us about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're super happy. This will be our first grandchild.
Bill was just telling us how Adam and Leah, I started to say
popped the question.
How they revealed the news. Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
That you're going to be a grandfather.
Yeah.
When my kids have done the same thing for all of the pregnancies, it's been find a way to kind of surprise us with the news. And they've gotten us pretty much each time. And I've sort of seen it coming, but it always catches Emily by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, as soon as we're into it, I'm going, okay, I see where this is. I know where this is going.
Uh-huh.
And Emily would be the one, her response will always be, wait a minute, are you... Is this, you know, that's her response every time.
I think
sweet.
Yeah.
Kimberly had some intuition about Leah before it came out. I was Emily in this scene.
Aww.
I was completely clueless.
Not surprised. But here's the thing. When we were having kids, this was not a thing. I mean, you didn't come up with an elaborate, you just, hey, by the way, we're pregnant. You know, I mean, that was just it.
Yeah.
And now you got all the baby, we didn't do gender reveals.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
you found out at the hospital. I mean, not the hospital, but you found out at the doctor's appointment.
No, mm-hmm. For the first two, we waited until they were born.
Okay. But for us, it was doctor's appointment. And then you just called and said, hey, it's a girl. You know,
they offered us the chance. With the first two, we were like, no, let's just let it be a surprise.
Surprise, yeah.
Nobody does that anymore. And then for number three, Emily went ahead and just tell me, because we'd had two boys back to back. And she was like, please tell me this is the girl. I would like to know, and I would like to be able to plan ahead, and I'm really hoping, but I just need to know. Am I going to be the mother of three boys, or will this be the girl? And we are, of course, the parents of three boys.
Genius is right. Good boys.
Yes.
But man, you're getting those girls now.
I'm telling you, nothing but up until recently, and now, of course, we know two gender reveals. We got two grandsons on the way.
Yeah.
But there's still a chance that James and Annabelle could have a girl. We still don't know on that one.
Yeah. I think it's sweet that they're waiting to see, because you just don't see that very much. The last couple that we know that did not find out until the birth was Josh and Becca Wilson, which was so fun. It really was fun not to know.
Yep.
So
it does. You can't plan ahead nearly as well, but there's something about not knowing until the doctor says.
Hey, I think Mike and Molly didn't find out on the last one either.
Oh, okay.
I think with Blakely. I can't remember. Anyway,
well, by
I'm
the time the third one comes around, like everything is just like, whatever.
Exactly.
Occasionally during our info to go breaks, you hear Jules doing the news. She and Rob kind of trade off. Well, from time to time, we let her out of the newsroom to come tell us some of the stories that are going on in her life. So today, we invited Jules into the studio.
All right, Jules, I was talking to you on the phone the other day, and you said something about second sight, and it's something with your mom.
Yeah, okay.
So here's the thing. Let me preface this by, with Jules, every time I have a conversation with her, the narrative that, or the voice that's in my head is, why did you just ask her about this? You should have asked her about this on the show, because she's crazy, and the stuff that comes out of her mouth, you just don't know what. So it's got to the point now where I don't even want to talk to Jules unless there's a microphone in front of her face.
And this one's interesting. Second sight, it sounds like a Stephen King or an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's second sight, you think, is this going to be... You have some splaining to do.
I know. So I stopped her. So you guys are going to hear it the first time I'm hearing it.
Okay, so Mama got her second sight. That's pretty much it, guys.
I know what a second wind is. I don't know.
Nervous about this? Should we be praying for her?
Okay, so my mom has been having the same prescription, her glasses. She called me and she goes, I need you to meet me at the eye doctor because I want to pick out new frames because I got to get new lenses because I can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's what you do. I mean, like, you help your mom and make her look good. And so she goes to get her new eye exam, and the eye doctor said, you don't need glasses. This is the craziest phenomenon that can happen. You get cataracts.
Okay.
Okay. And there is a point where the cataracts, I'm not scientific on this, but it makes some kind of prism, which gives you 20/20 vision.
So she literally got 20/20 vision?
She has 20/20 vision.
So that's the reason. So she thought she needed an eye appointment because her glasses weren't working anymore because her sight's actually perfect.
Her sight is 20/20.
Get out of town.
She's had glasses, like, I mean, most of her life. And so the doctor was like, enjoy it. Yeah. Go live your life, because what's going to happen is that the cataracts are going to get so thick that it'll go back and you'll have to have cataract surgery.
Okay.
But you have like a window, and we don't know how long it's going to be that you have your second sight back.
That is crazy.
I know. Isn't
that
the
so
craziest?
Funny.
So, but the thing is now is she's like, I've had glasses for so long.
Yeah.
And there are wrinkles. I didn't know that they were there. And now she's asking me about getting lashes and stuff like that. Because now she's like, I got 2, maybe 3 years. We don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm looking
good. So she's going to live it up.
I'm going to live it up.
Right, I love
it. Have her get some Warbies and just don't put any corrective lenses in them. Just blank lenses. And she can wear those and
Bill,
for style.
But
she doesn't want
the glasses. She's wanting to show off the lashes.
The lashes.
Yeah.
Right.
But I will say this. Speaking of glasses, this was a funny story. I went in the other day. I say the other day. A month ago to get my eye appointment. They did a new prescription for me. Y'all, I tried to wear these new glasses because I got some new clear frames. They were Warbies.
Uh-huh.
And I got clear frames, and I've been trying to wear these new glasses for probably 3 weeks. I turned as green as this Perrier bottle. I mean, I was so nauseated. So finally, I went back in the other day, and I said, I can't do this. So they're actually taking me back to my original prescription. And they say that happens from time to time where you go in and you have the appointment and they kind of do the whatever it's called, the correct.
They put all the lenses there.
Yeah, to get
this one better than this one's
C? Right. But they said a lot of times when you do that, it just doesn't translate to the glasses. Yeah. So I've got 2 pair of brand new glasses that I'm now, they're at the place right now to go put my original prescription back in, because I literally I thought I was going to throw up every time.
Carmen didn't get her second sight. She got her ongoing nausea.
Yeah. So the other day, we told y'all, and if you still haven't seen this video, you've got to go see it at our Instagram. But Jules, who literally is one of the craziest people I know, which I love, but she has a legit CB radio in her car.
Carmen, dear.
What?
It's not a CB.
Oh, what is it?
No, a CB actually is, it's an actual radio that transmits and broadcasts. It's a PA. It's a PA system.
A PA system.
Right.
PA.
It's a loudspeaker.
Were we not calling a CB?
CB radio is like breaker, breaker 1-9.
A PA.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. It's a legit PA system.
Yes.
You have to go see the video. So we talked about that the other day. You definitely need to go see that. But we're sitting the other day at lunch, and this was a little known fact that I'd totally forgotten about Jules until she brought it up again. So I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
But Jules, she used to own trailer parks, like you were a landlord.
Yeah.
Do you still own?
I don't own.
You
but
don't
I
own anymore.
I have a reoccurring nightmare that I would be notified that, those paperworks didn't get filed with the courthouse and you actually still own it. And this is a reoccurring nightmare that I go and I realize then I owe all these like back taxes because I haven't been paying it. Then I had to go up to all my tenants and be like, I haven't collected rent in 3 years.
Yeah.
I need you to start paying it.
Right.
And it's funny because even in my dream, like the same tenants are in the same trailers, like, and they're like, oh, well, okay, we'll start paying now, you know? So, but let me just tell you, okay, so this is my dream. This is my nightmare. Last week I was sitting at my house. I'm also Southern, so I'm going to paint the picture for you. My friend Karen was over. We were doing homemade ice cream for all the kids.
Okay.
My banker, who we became really good friends because, I mean, I am this like, I am not the stereotypical trailer park landlord.
Right.
Right. So she was used to like dealing with a man, and I was very much a woman in a man's world. And so we, you know, just had a good camaraderie with laughs, tell stories. So she calls me. I'm sitting there with my friend Karen doing the homemade ice cream. So I didn't answer. I thought she was probably going to say, like, oh, I got some great sales, got some good deals, blah, blah, blah. So then I get this email that comes through my phone that says, Jules, I really need to talk to you. Call me back immediately. So I was like, okay. So I walked out, pick up the phone, and she said, and I'm not kidding you guys, I have something to tell you. You still technically own the trailer.
No. And this has been your
this
recurring.
This has been my nightmare. Y'all,
whoa,
this
whoa,
is,
whoa, whoa.
I don't
you
like,
still own them?
Okay. So this is what happened. When I sold my trailer park 3 years ago, the titles never got put into his name, the guy
who bought them.
They are still technically in my name. And so I was like, are you telling me I still have this trailer park? And she goes, I mean, technically, you still own this trailer park. And so so the guy is trying to switch the guy, you know, the titles back into his name. And so he calls me. He goes, I'm going to need you to sign this paperwork. I was like, I will sign whatever. I mean, this is my nightmare, honey.
Drew,
isn't that the craziest thing? And so I was like, so wait, I don't own like taxes on this, right? Like, and so he was like, are you okay signing? I was like, honey.
Honey, get it over here. How quickly
can you get here?
I was like, I don't know how you did not get this done, but we're going to get it done today.
Oh, my goodness. So, we have talked about this before, and you're right. You're not the stereotypical because you were younger. You were a young mom.
Yeah.
You would take the kids.
My 20s.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where I had this idea, but it was a way that I could stay home with my kids and then have some income coming in. I would have a baby on my hip. I'd go to the courthouse to do evictions. I mean, it was, I would collect rent with this, like, because I had all my babies while owning the trailer parks. I would go up there collecting rent on Friday night, like, gigantic, pregnant.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to pay their rent when a pregnant landlord comes to the front door?
Yeah. I know. I had my minivan. I put on Curious George, have the kids watch it in the back, and mama go walk around collecting rent, which I guess I could still do this Friday night.
I guess you could.
Mean,
yeah.
You know, technically.
Oh, my goodness.
Party time.
That's
Friday night. Let's go get some rent.
Jules, before you get out of here, I want to ask about your spring break, because we were talking about the girls a couple of minutes ago. They were little when you owned the trailer park, but they're older now, and you had a spring break, and we were talking the other night, and you were trying to make it an educational spring break.
Isn't that sort of anti-spring breakish?
That's what my kids thought.
The point of spring break is non-educational.
It's like the mom in me. I'm like, guys, we could go to the beach like your friends, or we could learn something and have fun.
Hey, I'm into that. Beach.
And how did that work out?
From whose perspective?
Well, you can tell us both.
Okay. I felt like we learned a lot, guys.
Okay.
I took them to Okefenokee Swamp.
Oh, okay.
We
every kid's spring break dream. Hey, let's go to the swamp.
I love the name, Okefenokee.
So the best is when they actually realized how close the beach was to us. They're like, so we could drive to the beach right now. And I was like, or we can learn about alligators and reptiles and Native Americans that used to call this home. And so we actually had a lot of fun. But, you know, as a mom, Carmen, you get this. You have in your head how vacations are going to go.
You think it's going to go.
How you think it's going
to
go.
Yeah.
Is it similar to how you think the photo shoot with the family is going to go?
Exactly. Yes. The Christmas photos and all that. Ooh, yes.
Painful.
So I thought we would rent canoes and canoe down the Okefenokee Swamp. As soon as my little girls found out that there were snakes
and alligators
and bobcats, they wouldn't touch it. They were like, I ain't going out. But we did do, and let me just say, if you want to.
So they would not get in the canoe.
No, they were like, no, we ain't doing that. And I was like, okay. So we did do one of those like big boats where they had like a tour guide. It was really, really fun. I'm not just saying it for myself. As a mom, I'm like, my kids, I saw smiles on their faces. And Sally held a baby alligator. Ellie held a half of a snake.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't touch the head.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to say, was the snake.
Yeah, I thought
it was.
Why would they hand her half a snake?
The alligator got the other half.
So she wouldn't touch the head part. So the lady had to touch the head part. She touched the tail.
Gotcha.
Susie wouldn't touch any of it besides a
turtle.
That would be a cute turtle. She held that, and that was it. And we learned a lot. And then on the way back, we were driving through Milledgeville. And that is when we found out that, well, hang on a second, I'm trying to think of the woman's name, Flannery O'Connor.
Yes, Flannery O'Connor, yes.
I don't know a thing that she wrote, but I saw a placard on the side of the road,
Wise
and I was
blood.
Like, pull in, kids. And so we went to her house, and we learned a little bit. I had to Google her. I was like, I know she's like a woman author, and then you.
And a Christian.
I did not
know. Yes, she was.
That wasn't in the Google.
Yeah.
I feel a lesson of Flannery O'Connor coming up.
Oh, yeah. No, you should read some of her stuff. It's very interesting. And one of my favorite Flannery O'Connor quotes is regarding the gospel. And it says, the only thing you need is need.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you come
lit
with
him
me?
Up.
You come with me on my educational spring breaks.
Not going to the swamp, girl. No, no,
and
no.
And you know what that reminds me of is the Jen Wilkin Bible study that I did last year, Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
that is when she starts going through Blessed Are the Poor in Spirit. But she really talks about that. And maybe it was Paige Brown, too, when she did the Revelation study.
I think she did quote where, Flannery O'Connor.
Yes, yeah. Where she says, all you need is need, and to recognize that you have a need. Wow. Well, maybe I want to go see this.
I was it fun? Anything, guys. I just saw a black girl on the side of the road, and I Googled it.
But was it fun? Did y'all have fun there?
We had. Yeah, it was nice. It was pretty. It got our legs stretched, and we were like a famous American author lived here.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. But you know what? That's what, to give you credit, a lot of times there are things all around us, and we just don't take the time to go to places like that are just right down the road from us. We always have these destination or feel like we have to go to the beach or the cabins or whatever. And there are historical places like this to go.
Educational is fun.
Yeah, it can be. Oh, you're sounding like Bill. Lord have mercy.
I say we ask our kids.
Well, we're wrapping up our first week broadcasting in our new area, 98.1 in Orlando, Deltona, Daytona. It's been so fun. Actually, had a friend from Eustis text us the other day, and he's listening in Eustis, which is so fun. But if you know folks who live in that area in Central Florida, Northwest Orlando, let them know. I think it'd be really cool to have friends and family listen to the same radio station, and we're hearing from you.
Oh yeah, we have had such kind welcome to the area. So many texts, comments on social media, DMs to you, Carmen.
Yeah, just I love it.
Really wonderful to hear from friends. And I want to give you our text line, and maybe you can give the Instagram address and so forth. And Dave, you can tell where they can get more information on the show and the station. But if you're new to the Joy FM, the number 800, wait, I nearly forgot it. This is usually Carmen's thing.
800-456-8910.
Same number for over 30 years.
Yeah, to call us or text us.
She never finishes the number. And just then she actually finished the number and I forgot it.
Yes.
800. What is wrong? What is the
universe doing right now? I don't know what you're talking about. 800-456-8910. If you are listening at 98.1, let us know. We really do want to hear from you. We've got some fun things happening next month. We're going to do our Joy Drop and Restock. So we're already working on locations to be in those areas. So it's just really fun that we've grown the family this week and wrapping up the first week.
Right. Now, Instagram.
Yes. At Morning Cruise.
No. At The Morning Cruise.
Is it The
if
Morning
you
Cruise?
Forget
okay.
The.
Well, you got the Instagram right. I got the number right.
I'm telling you.
At The Morning Cruise.
Is there a full moon? That is so
seriously,
weird.
Seriously.
Carmen is our
like
Instagram girl on the show. Mm-hmm.
If we paid attention to Twitter anymore, I think we might have been at Morning Cruise on Twitter.
Is that what it was?
We were.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't remember the last time I looked at it.
I set up all of our accounts. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're at The Morning
Cruise. The Morning
Cruise.
Don't forget that.
Instagram. So make sure you follow us there.
Right. Okay, Dave. We're 0 for 2 on this side. Help us out where people can go to find out about, they can get highlights from the show, they can enter into contests, they can find out about the Joy FM and all that stuff.
That would be the website, thejoyfm.com. And of course, our home at thejoyfm.com, you can also get straight to by going to themorningcruise.com.
Excellent.
And that's where you'll find things like our TMC replay. If you missed anything, you want to catch bits and pieces of the show or the entire show condensed down, Hitch spends a lot of time working on that. You'll find that at themorningcruise.com.
Bottom line is just connect with us. Thanks so much for listening and being part of the Joy FM family. Kimberly and I are catching up on season one of The Chosen. Gosh, if you've never seen that series, it is so, so good. And we were, I realized I missed one of the episodes from season one when I watched it before. And I was watching it and she wasn't, so we're watching it together now. But it was the episode with Peter fishing all night long, and then Jesus telling him, throw your net out one more time. And this was sort of the way that Jesus was connected to, for the first time, to Peter. And then Peter just in this episode, he goes through something that I think is so common for us. And we were talking about this off air just a little bit. When we are walking with the Lord, and sometimes it just feels like, almost like heaven's against you. It just feels like God has forgotten about you. And Peter's at one of those moments, and he's literally screaming at the Lord in his boat. And he's saying, Lord, have you forgotten us? Did you, you know, you took us out in the desert to leave us there for 40 years. We wandered there. We wound up in captivity. You know, should I even have any faith at all? Now here I am, and his life is just
He's about to lose his business.
About to lose his business, probably get himself arrested or killed by the Roman government. And he's just at the bottom, and he's angry at the Lord. And then he comes in, and then Jesus makes himself known in a big way. And the first thing that Peter does is literally falls down on his face. And I just thought, not only is this well done dramatically and a really interesting way to sort of take that Bible story and sort of read between the lines of how it might have gone down, but not only that, but we were just talking off air, this is all our story. I've got a really good friend who's at that moment, and maybe that's why it connected with me so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was talking to this guy, and I was he just is at a point where he admitted, I'm angry with the Lord right now. I don't even know if my faith can survive this moment. And, you know, I'm learning to be a good listener and just listen and let somebody process. But one of the things it seemed appropriate at the time to mention is because we have a shared love for C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis wrote two books on this when he was going through this terrible time. Like, he was a committed bachelor, and then he falls in love with Joy Davidman, who was a divorcee from America. He marries her at, like, I don't know how old he was, like 52 years old, something like that. And he marries her, and she's got cancer. And
he marries her when she has cancer?
I'm trying to remember the sequence of events.
Wow.
I don't know if she was diagnosed right after
Shortly after,
or before they got married.
Very close.
But they were in the hospital. An Anglican priest came in, prayed for her. She got healed. She got healed. Lewis is like overwhelmed. They start their life together. And it's just a very short time before the cancer comes back with a vengeance and she's gone. And he's like, Lord, are you toying with us? So he writes this book called The Problem of Pain before she had the cancer come back. And then he writes A Grief Observed. The Problem of Pain is a more philosophical problem of evil type book. A Grief Observed is just Lewis being raw and just being angry at the Lord. He actually published it in a different, under a different name, because he didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was so raw.
Wow.
But I said to this guy, I said, do you want to read A Grief Observed? It might give verbal processing to what you're going through. It might give words to that.
Man, I think we've all had, that's certainly been my story when I was at my lowest point. But let's go to a song. We'll come back, and I'm not ready for this conversation to be done just yet. We were talking a couple of minutes ago about The Chosen and the episode with Peter just at the bottom. And then you've got a friend that you've been walking with the last couple of weeks who's just at the bottom as well. And it's funny because I've seen you've shared a little bit of the text thread with me.
Yeah.
That person is good with it.
Talking
about A Grief Observed, and just it was, they read part of that book, and overnight there was just a totally different perspective.
Yeah, I didn't even get to that part, but that's what happened.
Yeah,
and just really gave some words to what he was feeling and walking through, and gave him a handle for faith.
Yeah.
In this moment,
and
this hard moment.
That is what we were actually talking about off air. But I want to encourage you today. If someone's listening and you're at the bottom, I mean, that was my story. Lord have mercy. I grew up in the church. I knew everything you're supposed to say. I knew everything that you're supposed to feel. I knew how to do the dance, so to speak. But man, it is, don't totally curse the valleys, because I will say, I mean, there's cliffs and there's, you know, when there's pits, and there's two different ways you can get into the pit. There, you wake up and find yourself in the pit. A loved one dies. Someone, you know, a spouse wants a divorce. You lose your job. Cancer diagnosis, you wake up and find yourself in the pit. I am not in that camp. I am the one that ran and dove into the pit head first. But regardless, you're in the pit. And this was one of the most encouraging things to me that a sister said to me, because it was almost like I was mad at God when I was in the pit, but it was a pit of my own doing. But I was so mad at him. And it's kind of like, I knew he was right there, but I was giving him the silent treatment, and I was not going to make eye contact. It was like he was right there, but it's like, I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at you. I'm really mad at you. And I just remember someone saying, embrace that, because that shows right there that you have a relationship with him.
Yes.
Because if you can't silent treat someone that's not real. You can't not look at someone who's not right there. So first of all, be encouraged if you're very angry. And I just think in my own journey, I was mad at God for a long time. He sent me to the wilderness. I was very mad in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. But then eventually, he just keeps chasing after you. Man, we almost need to play Reckless Love again. But he just, I know we've played it here a couple days ago, Jody right. Messina's version, but he just chases after you.
Yeah.
And eventually you get tired of running and you crumble. You just fall and he picks you up in just such a loving, tender way. And you just bawl your eyes out. And then you have some of the most intimate moments with him. And I know for me personally, when I started heading out of that season and just feeling healthier and more whole and all of that, there was a part of me, because this is what I always, whenever I'm sitting down with a girlfriend, I always say, embrace this season. I know it's hard, but man, the intimacy that you're feeling right now, because for me, as I was headed out of that season, there was part of me that's like, no way, that was such a special place to be. Right. And you miss that intimacy that you have with mm-hmm. God and feeling so held.
Yeah.
So
and it's hard to walk through the hard part to get there, though, and it's hard to keep your eyes fixed on that. I think one of the reasons that some of the stories are in the Bible mm-hmm. are to show us that we walk through these things and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see Job being angry with God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see David in the Psalms crying out of despair mm-hmm. and the depths and sometimes being angry with God.
Yeah.
You know, these are times when you see Peter
in the New Testament.
Exactly.
You see that story in the Bible itself.
It's good to see people that are in Scripture living the same type of thing that you're feeling
mm-hmm.
because it lets you know that, A, it's not uncommon. You're not the only one.
You're not.
And B, it's okay to go through this.
And the enemy will want you. Here's a few things he'll want to whisper in your ear is that you're alone. No one else will understand. God is not who you thought he was. He's totally abandoned you. And those are just lies. So even if you're angry, lean into the Lord. I've said for mm-hmm. years and years and years, fight it out with him instead of away from him.
I love that. Mm.
But it just, I really do hope that encourages
someone
today. Just lean into the Lord. He does love you. He does care for you. He will not forsake you.
And this is coming from, not from people that are preaching at you.
Yeah, no.
But this is just our lived experience sharing it.
And one last thing, it's okay to have questions. It's okay to say, why, God? He's not intimidated by your questions. I think a lot of us who grew up probably a more, conservative way, mm-hmm. maybe that was taught to us that, you don't question God. It is what it is. You just take him at his word. And while all that is true to a certain extent, he does have the final word. It's okay. It's okay to, you're his child. It's okay to ask your father why.
Yeah. The keeper line there is wrestle it out with God, mm-hmm. not apart from him.
Yep.
Big words.
Bill's big word of the day.
Is the big word jump the gun?
I can't believe I did that. How long have we been doing this segment?
A little while.
Fecundity, crux, beshrouded, and propinquity, Dave. Those have been our big words so far this week. And that makes us somewhat loquacious, which is related to the big word of the day today, loquacity. Now, loquacity can be used in a positive or negative connotation. It's a noun. It means the state or quality of being talkative, sometimes too wordy, but it originally came from a word that meant eloquent, and it still sometimes is used in positive connotations, but I'll take it a little bit towards the negative with the application of the word meaning an instance of talkativeness or rambling. And here's your sentence. A hurting friend doesn't need your loquacity, but rather your shoulder. That's the big word of the day today, loquacity.